Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, our great friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports, back to make his predictions for another show. And we had to wait extra a couple minutes because Stephen still hasn't decided who's winning these damn games. How are you, Stephen?
Mike, how about we start off our Wednesday prediction show with some good news? Mike, starting tonight, there is 49 straight days of football. I know you're SEC Mike, and you're the hardest working man in college football in the SEC, Mike, but 49 days of straight football, some Conference USA games tonight, got the NFL, of course, throughout the week. So how does that sound?
I mean, it sounds great to me, Stephen, and man, I can't even imagine life without football, so it looks like I'm going to be living like a king the next 40-some-odd days. You know what?
Oh, you know it, Mike. I mean, I know you're fired up about that Missouri State-Middle Tennessee game tonight. But, man, how about all the great SEC games this weekend? I mean, just not even in the SEC. I mean, look around college football, Mike. It is a big-time week of games. It's going to shake up the rankings. It's going to shake up the playoffs. So, man, I'm just fired up to have that many straight days of football, but also looking at the high-stakes matchups, I'm all in on this weekend.
Right, and all these point spreads have changed since the opening, seemingly, so that's pretty wild to see. Just a little roundup here, Stephen, for you and the Cousins here. The Cousins are whipping us, Stephen. They've picked 57 games accurately in the Southeastern Conference's football season. I'm right below them at 56, and you and Shane are at 55. So, yes, technically you're last with Shane, but hey, this a weekend like this is how you could swing it right back. You're only two games off the Cousins, so how confident are you that you rise these rankings this weekend?
I was going to say, or an opportunity to fall even further behind, because these games are so difficult to figure out. I guess if I'm hanging out with the people's champ, Cousin Shane, back there and last, I guess we got some good company, right?
We do, and we got good company with our good friends over at MyBookie. So go check them out. Listen to what Steven's got to say about these upcoming matchups. Put in an initial deposit with that promo code SEC, and they'll give you up to a $500 buyback option is what they're calling it. And what that means is, let's say you put in $200 over at MyBookie and you put in that promo code SEC. If you lose your $200, let's say you bet on Washington State. Now, why would you? But let's say you do it anyway at Ole Miss Covers. They're going to give you that $200 right back as long as you use that promo code SEC over at MyBookie. So go check them out. Really help the show. But you know who really helps us out, Stephen? Each and every episode, doesn't matter the day, the time, emergency, scheduled, couple minutes late, couple minutes early, doesn't matter. JR is here to save the day. He's carrying the show.
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted Stephen to Ori Pup. Ori, welcome to
the family,
courtesy of JR. Thank you so much, JR. We really appreciate you. Now, that means you have to pick Georgia this weekend, Stephen. So just a heads up on that one.
I think JR will probably like my pick. I think this is the toughest week of the season to make predictions so far. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. I think that's fair. But that's not saying much given my record. So
I have no room to talk.
Hey, before we get into your predictions, and that's what we're going to do mostly here because it's just such an awesome weekend of action in the SEC. Let's get into another one of our partners for, I believe, the fifth year in a row, Stephen, is Prize Picks. Head on over there if you haven't already, if you're into the daily fantasy and what that is, instead of betting on the games, it's player projections. So they'll have projections of passing yards, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, etc. for a number of players in college football, NFL, NBA, on and on and on. Of course, we just like it for the SEC action. But all you got to do is select more or less. And if you get it right, you can win big over at Prize Picks. That promo code SEC, you play 5, get 50 over at Prize Picks. So, Stephen, this week, who are your Prize Picks selections as we head into this epic weekend of action?
Mike, I've got a couple plays that I think the Cousins can make some cash on. So let's start with Alabama and Missouri. and Ty Simpson is at 285.5. I'm going to be aggressive here, and I'm going to take the more than side because we love the way that Ty Simpson's been playing the last couple weeks. We know Missouri's got some questions in the secondary. I am going to tandem that play with Jeremy Bernard. He's at 62.5. I actually like all of the Alabama receivers this week. Ryan Williams is at 67.5. Mike, I think you got to play the more than side here on Jeremy Bernard or even Ryan Williams. And I love Ty Simpson this week. I think there's a good chance he gets to 300 yards passing.
You're another one of these logo watchers, as Roush put it. I never heard that term. And Steven, I'll be that. My God, the cousins were pissed after that. Hell, I didn't even say it. But yeah.
Yes. Yes. Steven, noted logo watcher who is fired up for Missouri State in Middle Tennessee tonight, right?
Well, hey, what are the odds? Let me counter that. And I'm not saying this is the case, but what are the odds? Because I've heard it from Missouri fans, Steven. Again, you look at their schedule. Maybe they've been sandbagging on that defensive side. And hell, 2 weeks to prepare? Would you buy? I know that goes against all your prize pick selections, but is there maybe a sliver of truth in there that maybe Missouri's been holding back just for this game?
I think it's possible, Mike. I mean, I think the timing of this game favors Missouri a lot. I mean, anytime you've got an off week, you've been at home, you've been able to enjoy home cooking for a couple weeks, and Alabama's played big game after big game. I do think the timing favors Missouri, but that also brings me to another prize picks play, Mike, which is I love Ahmad Hardy at 99.5. He has been a 100-yard machine. You and I said it in the preseason, he was the best bet to lead the SEC in rushing, and this matchup against Alabama is favorable given the struggles that Alabama has had against the run this year. So 99.5, love Ahmad Hardy, love the timing for Missouri. Perhaps they were holding some stuff back against UMass, certainly, but I think the theme of this game is like it is a significant upgraded challenge for Missouri, and I think that's what makes it a fascinating battle here.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I like what you did there. You're hedging here a lot over. So points galore, perhaps, in Columbia as we kick off 11 a.m. noon Central Time. So I like what you're doing there, Steven. Any other prize picks for us?
I got a couple from the Georgia-Auburn game. Mike, let's go to Eric Singleton. He is at 45.5. I know this is a little controversial, Mike, but Auburn's going to have to throw the ball. Jackson Arnold's actually going to have to get rid of it. I love Eric Singleton here. We know Georgia's been a little bit up and down in the secondary. Cam Coleman, he's at 50.5 receiving yards at Prize Picks, but I'm going to take Eric Singleton. He's at 45.5. He's been over 56 in four of Auburn's five games this year, and I am also going to tandem that with Eric Singleton, 4.5 in receptions. I like him to get more than. So I think you get five, maybe for 80 yards, maybe a touchdown. And while I'm at it, let's throw in Gunnar Stockton on the rushing yards. 25.5, I'm going more than.
Oh, man, yeah, because that's what he does. You know, he's an elite runner of the football from the quarterback position. So, yeah, man, I'm liking all these prize pick selections from you, Steven, and it's just getting me that much more fired up to hear who you've got for these games this weekend, because I can't tell. You know, you're more than here, more than there. You know, that's I'm in the total dark on who you're going to pick in these games.
Mike, you see, I wore the black hoodie today, trying to channel Kalen DeBoer. Big game Steven is showing up this week, hoping to go perfect on the record and catch up to all the cousins out there.
All right, Steven. So without further ado, are you ready to make your predictions? We're just going to go deep diving on all these games. Are you ready for it?
Mike, let's do it. It's a fantastic weekend. Let's see if we can maybe parse through what's going to happen this Saturday.
All right. So let's start with the only non-conference matchup, Washington State at Ole Miss, Steven. Ole Miss, a 32.5-point favorite. The over-under is 58.5. 12:45 Eastern, 11:45 a.m. Central on the SEC Network. And I didn't realize this, Stephen. Maybe I don't know if you did either, but I just heard Lane Kiffin got off the coach's call right before we hopped on here. He said, this is the first place SEC team versus the first place Pac-12 team. So he called this the Cross Country Classic. Who wins the Cross Country Classic?
I coaches are strange individuals to keep their team motivated, right? Because Ole Miss is a 30-plus point favorite for good reason, Mike. Really the only concern for me is if you're Ole Miss, you're looking ahead to Georgia. You can't let Washington State beat you and then you go into that Georgia game. But it's also hard to find a reason that Ole Miss will stumble here. I mean, you look at Washington State, they're averaging about 21 points a game. They're giving up 28. A lot of coaching turnover, a lot of transfers from last season. I just think it's a really bad matchup. Add in the travel, Pullman to Oxford, that's a heck of a road trip. Everything here just spells bad road trip for Washington State. They have lost by 49 to North Texas, and they lost 59-24 to Washington. Those are the two best teams they played. Keep in mind, Ole Miss beat Tulane 45-10. I think Tulane's better than Washington State. So, Mike, the biggest thing for me in this game is Ole Miss should win. Probably the only question is what the final is like. Do they cover? Do they not? The big thing with Georgia coming up is, number one, you don't want to get anybody hurt. You want to be able to get a lot of guys some reps and just get in here, get the victory, and get ready for next week. So I like Ole Miss to roll. I think they cover. I've got it 48-10, largely because I think maybe the Georgia factor there. I could easily see 50-plus points in this game, but I think Ole Miss just takes care of business. No concerns for Lane Kiffin and the Rebels this week.
Right. And then I should also add that Kiffin was asked about the quarterbacks, you know, Austin Simmons, Trinidad, what you going to do? And he said, well, hell, we haven't decided, but it's pretty interesting that the Heisman odds feature one of our guys and we don't even know if we're going to start him. Of course, again, I don't believe anything Lane Kiffin has to say when it comes to a public setting. He's just going to troll and deceive and all that. But it was kind of funny that he left the door open to this could be Austin Simmons taking back the starting position. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what's going to happen, but he didn't slam the door shut on it either. With this, huge if, because I think almost everybody assumes it'll be Trinidad, I think it should be. But if they go back to Austin Simmons, is this a perfect game to get him some reps prior to the trip to Georgia?
Absolutely. I think if you want to knock the rust off a starting quarterback, it's starting against Washington State and not putting him back out there against Georgia. I would be surprised if it's Simmons starting. Now, let me throw this out at you. Prize pick selections. Ole Miss quarterbacks on the field for the first snap. Is it 1.5 or do you take the more than or the less than side? Is maybe Simmons and Chambliss take the first snap?
Yeah, so they can both get credited for a start?
Yeah.
I'll take the less than, but okay. Lane's crazy enough to do it. You know, if for some, and I don't believe they're allowed to do this, Stephen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe they're allowed to structure NIL in any way where it's like X amount of starts or, you know, I certainly know they're not allowed to do production wise, but if it were starts, yeah, I think we'd see a lot of coaches have to start two quarterbacks, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, to try to manipulate the system to make sure those NIL dollars are correctly allocated. So, I think in Chambliss versus Simmons, I think you ride the hot hand, don't you? I think you keep going with Chambliss until he fizzles out at this point.
Unless, now this is the case I made against him, unless they believe, and they would know better than literally anybody, if they do not believe that they can win it all with Trinidad for whatever reason, or you know, maybe even more specifically, if they can't win at Georgia, if they can't win at Oklahoma, if they, and can is the wrong word, but basically if they think Austin Simmons gives them a better shot at winning, I think Lane will do it, because the goal is not to be 5-0 and 3-0 in the conference. The goal is to win the conference, win the national championship. And if they're not going to sit the quarterback, that gives them the best chance to do that.
Would you agree that the ceiling is higher on Austin Simmons?
I don't know. I thought that, but I don't. Now that we've seen Trinidad play so well against LSU, I don't know that. Again, I can't answer that, but I certainly thought that a month ago.
I think the argument that, I mean, I think the ceiling is higher on Simmons. I think you could also argue that with more snaps, the production from him, you know, we would get a much larger sample size and we see the physical talent start to translate more into production. And he was fine before getting hurt. I just think in if your break glass in case of emergency quarterback is Austin Simmons, that's a pretty good place for Ole Miss to be. And so you just ride the hot hand with Chambliss, the mobility, the everything that he's brought. I mean, it was fair to have doubts about him because he played Arkansas and Tulane. But the fact they went out there and beat LSU, and then after the offense kind of got off to a slow start, and they came back and got kind of on track and won that game, I think it says a lot about Chambliss in this offense. So I totally understand, like, maybe Kiffin playing some games here, but I think you have to ride the hot hand, and then you can always go to Simmons at some point this year.
Yeah, shout out Cousin Ken. He's 100% right. I'm incorrect. I need to correct myself. Lane Kiffin, Whiffen, does not want to play in the SEC championship. He made that perfectly clear, and he got that done, Stephen, even though he had the path to getting it done last fall. So we'll see if they blow it this year. But anything else before we move on to a real game?
Mike, I think it's really this game for Ole Miss. If it's close, something has gone horribly wrong. I'm fired up to see this team against Georgia next week, but this is a take care of business kind of weekend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, it's a take care of business weekend, perhaps, Stephen, for them Tennessee Vols, because they cannot afford to lose games like this. If they want to get where they want to go, and Bobby Petrino can't afford to lose it if he wants to keep his damn job. Shout out Arkansas on the road at Tennessee, Stephen. Tennessee, an 11.5-point favorite. The over-under, 68.5 total points. This game kicks off at 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central on the SEC Network. Stephen, my goodness, Arkansas's beat Tennessee four times in a row. Do they get to number 5?
No. Oh. I think those balls take care of business this weekend. I was trying to be blunt to help Cousin Shane. I didn't want him to drive the golf cart off the course today. I just wanted to let him know that the Vols are going to take care of business. But let's kind of talk through this game, because I think there's some interesting angles to it, Mike. There's the angle of revenge for Tennessee. You know, what happened last year in Fayetteville, Tennessee's definitely going to has not forgotten about that, and will probably remember that on Saturday. There's also an element of unknown here for Arkansas with all the coaching changes. And I think it's worth just considering that the last time we saw Arkansas, our last impression was bad. They lost 56-13 to Notre Dame. But keep in mind, before that, when they played Ole Miss and when they played Memphis, they were a couple of plays away from winning those games. Now, different scenario going up to Knoxville and trying to beat Tennessee. I think the unknown could help Arkansas to some extent, because your defense, you don't exactly know, like, what are they changing? They've had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. I think Arkansas's problems are more personnel driven than coordinator driven than anything else. Now, perhaps there are some changes and they slow some things down. Perhaps all of that helps Arkansas early on in this game. I think Arkansas is going to score, though, because when you look at the numbers of both these teams, Tennessee's first in the country in scoring offense. Arkansas is not that far behind. Arkansas averages nearly 8 yards a play against FBS teams this year. So almost a first down every time that they're playing FBS teams this season. So the Arkansas offense, given what we've seen from Tennessee defensively, it will score. The problem is, I don't see Arkansas getting enough stops in this game to win. I think Tennessee, with Aguilar and all these weapons, Arkansas will have its hands full. And so while Arkansas is going to score, Tennessee scores more. Give me Tennessee 41, Arkansas 27.
And I don't know if you're a believer in stuff like this, Stephen. You know, I think sometimes we make too much about these things, but sometimes it plays a small factor, perhaps. But shout out Mike Washington, Arkansas running back. He said this week, you know, basically there's a lot of holes in that Tennessee defense. And I'm already seeing that making the rounds of Tennessee media, and so I'm sure it's made its way to the Tennessee locker room. But in reality, I mean, he's 1,000% correct. There's been a lot of holes. Mississippi State rushed for nearly 200. Georgia went up and down the field on you. So He is accurate, but it is also accurate to say Tennessee should be healthier. They've had time to rest. They got a lot of good players on defense. They've been banged up, and they haven't put all the pieces together. So any kind of edge one way or another, whether it's Tennessee motivation or even if I'm an Arkansas fan, I say, well, all right, we're confident going in here. And well, why shouldn't we? We beat this team last year with a quarterback hurt, a running back hurt. We could beat this Tennessee team. Is there any edge in a statement like that in your mind?
I would tend to think it helps Tennessee. Although, Mike, the last time I thought about trash talk and it helping one team, I thought it was going to be Alabama when they played Florida State, and we saw that happen. I do think if you're trying to like make a case like how Arkansas could win this game, I mean, perhaps it is like guys like Washington and Russell and Taylen Green, and maybe I've got it 41-27, but maybe there's a little bit of ball control in there. You know, you're kind of playing to your rushing attack and trying to say, hey, we can't stop Aguilar, but maybe we can keep him on the sidelines. And so you get into a game of, if you can limit their possessions and maybe you get a takeaway and you're just focusing on like third down and red zone stops, I could see like where there's a path there for Arkansas. We have also seen interim coaches, and Petrino's kind of a unique interim coach, mentioning that quote about the defense. I have no doubt that Petrino will have the offense ready. They are going to be a tough matchup for Tennessee with or without like a full deck of players this weekend. We've seen UCLA benefit from the interim coach. Virginia Tech got a bump. Oklahoma State's offense got a little bit of a bump. That there could be an interim coach bump here, like a season reset. I still don't think it matters enough for Arkansas. For as much as they can score, I just don't see defensively being able to get enough stops. And if Tennessee's defense is maybe a little bit more motivated because of all that, that's probably going to be enough to win this game, maybe even more than 41-27.
Steven, I'm going to clip that up, put it out there, and we'll see all the Tennessee fans apologize to you for saying this could be a close game last week. How's that sound?
I love that idea, Mike. Because I said last time Tennessee was going to win this game, and that just like went right over.
But you know, in my mind, this could go one of two ways. And I mean, you've already made your prediction, so I think I know which way you'd be leaning. But this could, like, I feel like if Tennessee starts fast, I think Arkansas doesn't got a snowball's chance in hell of winning this game. Like it's going to pile on them, and again, I have all the respect in the world of Taylen Green. And that offense, I think they're very, very good. And I know they'll score on Tennessee. Now, I'm not saying 30 or 40 points, but I think they'll get at least 20, given what we've seen from Tennessee's defense and Arkansas offense. But I think this is either going to be a complete blowout in favor of Tennessee or a back-and-forth type game and really no in-between. Do you think that's a fair statement?
I do. I think your point about how this game starts is important, because I think after the coaching change and maybe not necessarily a bunch of players crazy about the defensive changes that we saw, that I would imagine that if things start going bad, they could spiral quickly. Obviously not great for Petrino's any chance, small, large, whatever it is, to be the next coach. But I think you're right. You know, if Sam Pittman was the coach and Arkansas had an off week and they played somebody else and it wasn't Notre Dame, like, I think the consensus would be, oh yeah, like this could be a kind of a fun back and forth game. But I think because of our impression was that showing against Notre Dame, it may have skewed things. And so even still, I love Tennessee at home here, but I do think given the firepower Arkansas has, like, they got a potential to at least keep this game within striking distance, unless they just fall behind like 17-0 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out, last things. Chase Millam, appreciate your donation. Tennessee about to have some whole hog barbecue. Steven and I, big barbecues fans.
Oh, yeah.
So we can attest to that. Starch Manning, appreciate you with the donation. Time to dust off the neck brace and Arkansas pullover for Halloween. Perfect. I'd love to see it. That'd be a great look, don't you think?
How many? There's got to be some Tennessee fan that's planning to do that this weekend, right? Stand right there in the tunnel.
Hey, if not, I'll clip this up too. We'll put the idea out there. You know what?
I love that idea, man. That would be fantastic to see Tennessee fans or any other fans the rest of the season. Please indulge us and do that.
All right, Steven, how about this one? South Carolina on the road at LSU at night. LSU, a 9.5-point favorite. Over-under's 43.5 total points. 7:45 Eastern, 6:45 Central on the SEC Network. This one has been fairly one-sided, but South Carolina held their own last year and should have won the football game, but we had some questionable officiating. So a little bit of bad blood here. Both these teams coming off a bye. Both these teams really need a win to kind of seize some momentum going into a critical stretch. Who do you like in the ball game? South Carolina at LSU.
Mike, I think you said the key thing there, which is the upcoming stretch for both teams. Like if either one of these teams have playoff aspirations, and it's a little bit harder for South Carolina given they have two losses, but with Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, I mean, this is like murderer's row of opponents here for South Carolina. And on the other side, LSU still has big showdowns left too. I mean, Alabama's coming up, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. I think we get into the conversation of margin for error. And if you're LSU, this is a game you got to get, given the upcoming schedule. And so I'm thinking about coming off the off week. Do either of these teams have any fixes for what we saw in the first couple weeks? But also the two quarterbacks. Because Lenore Sellers, I think the last couple games has really started to look like the Lenore Sellers we thought we would see. For Garrett Nussmeier, how healthy is he? Because really, that's going to determine how this LSU team goes the rest of the year. Because Nussmeier's got to get healthy, but they also got to get more balance on offense. And so you kind of look at these two teams, and I think they're kind of similar in the way of there's a lot of stress on the two quarterbacks. And so which team can give the quarterbacks more help, but also what are we getting from the two quarterbacks on Saturday night? And so there's a ton that fascinates me just to see Sellers and Nussmeier on the same field for 60 minutes. But I think in terms of a prediction, Mike, here's kind of what I'm thinking. I think off the bye week, LSU's got to be a little bit healthier. Caden Durham and also Garrett Nussmeier. So I think healthier LSU team. I think the defense for LSU has an edge in this game. Also the home field. So I like South Carolina to fight in this game. Just think they're going to come up a little short. Just don't think that the supporting cast with this LSU defense is going to be enough. So I don't want to assume Nussmeier is 100%. That was a poor prediction on my part a few weeks ago. So I think whatever version they get is enough. And I like LSU 27, South Carolina 17.
Mm-hmm. What if, and there's no way that we can know this, but what if you said Lenore Sellers is playing better, which I agree with. What if he takes it to another level and he just goes superhuman like we know he's capable of doing? Would that be a critical to South Carolina pulling an upset on the road here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's kind of two versions of what we could expect. Like one, it's like Sellers just goes crazy and he just carries them to a win. Or Sellers is continuing what we saw the last 2 weeks in O-line running game, give Sellers more help there. One angle, Mike, we should talk about is like Dylan Stewart against this LSU offensive line too. So I think there's opportunities and there's factors there that could say if South Carolina does this, they get a shot at the upset. I think if we get Lenore Sellers like we saw at the end of last season plus something, I think South Carolina can use that and go on the road and win this game.
Now, is this a fair assessment, Steven? I'm thinking Blake Baker, LSU defensive coordinator, versus Mike Shula, offensive coordinator, South Carolina. Huge advantage, LSU. And then I go to Clayton White, South Carolina defensive coordinator. Joe Sloan, LSU offensive coordinator. Huge advantage, South Carolina. Would you agree with those two assessments?
100%. I agree with that. And I think that also adds to probably some of the frustration here if you're both fan bases. Like these two quarterbacks are potentially first rounders. You've got talent around them, certainly more for LSU at the receiver spot, but how do you make everything click? And just looking at what's to come here, Shula and Sloan, I think, are going to be under the spotlight here the next couple weeks as both these teams try to make a late run at the playoff, or maybe in South Carolina's chance maybe to get back in the top 25.
Mm-hmm. But also, because it's strength on weakness, to me, it makes this game all the more difficult to predict.
Yeah.
And it may very well come down to special teams, which I know LSU's got Berrien Brown now. I don't believe he's returned a kick at LSU for a touchdown yet, but I think he had a one or two big runs that have been come back by penalty, if I'm not mistaken. So point being, special teams. Beamer ball, hello, we got that. You know, that's an area where I think South Carolina can make up a difference in this ball game. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I was going to say, Mike, if South Carolina scores on defense or on special teams, don't you like their odds to win this game a lot better?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly was how they bust open the Kentucky game.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, they need to go to another level. But also, I think if you think about the Arkansas-Tennessee game and like spiraling, if you're LSU and like South Carolina comes out right away and maybe blocks a punt for a touchdown, and then the boos start to come out, get a little restless at LSU, maybe South Carolina gets ahead 14-0. I mean, it's not impossible for LSU to come back in that scenario, but I think the formula this season for South Carolina, a lot of those games have been like special teams, defensive touchdowns. If they can get one here, I like their odds a lot better to get the upset.
Mm-hmm. And I also like the odds, Steven, of our other Steven, showing up and gifting. Thank you, Steven Up.
He's showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gifted to Rebel and Dave Adventures. Cool name. Rebel and Dave, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, courtesy of Steven Up. Thank you, Steven Up. So we're going to get to Bama here in a minute. You got to pick Bama because we haven't had Missouri donations. But hey, before we get to that, we got another big one here. Man, all these games, Steven. I don't want to miss a second of any of them. How about Florida on the road at Texas A&M? Aggies favored by 7.5 points at home. The over-under is 46.5 total points. 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on ESPN. Steven, Florida. Whoa, buddy, did they turn around the season? Perhaps. A&M, though, undefeated. I don't know if they can be defeated. Who do you like in this one, Billy Boy or Mike Jersey Elko?
Mike, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is exactly what we saw last week, which was, where has that been for Florida all season? Because if that Florida had showed up, we'd be talking about a different Florida team. Instead, I'm wondering, is that the only time we're going to see that from Florida? Is that a one-off? Or is that the start of a second half comeback? Questions and not a lot of answers as we get ready for this game. I think if you want to just kind of look at Texas versus Texas A&M and compare these two, I think the thing that really favors A&M in this game is the fact that they're probably just better in the trenches, especially on the offensive line. And we've seen the last couple of weeks, 3 out of the last 4 games, Texas A&M has rushed for over 200 yards. Early in the season, you know, Marcel Reed was making plays against Notre Dame with those two receivers, Concepcion and Craver. But the run game, offensive line, really seems to be coming in. And it also makes A&M dangerous because it feels like they're kind of rounding into form here. So I like the fact that, yes, Florida's defense has been defensive line. Defense was great last week. But, man, this A&M offensive line is a significantly tougher challenge. So on the Florida side of things, pass protection on the road, this offensive line last week held up well for DJ Lagway. You got Dallas Wilson back. Can you hit some big plays? Can you get up early, take the crowd out of it? Jaden Ball was great last week too. They're going to need more of that on Saturday. There's a lot of unknowns here, but I do think the one constant I keep coming back to is, you know, A&M has not necessarily played their best game, and they just keep winning. They could have had more points against Auburn. They didn't cash in touchdowns. They missed field goals, but they still found a way to win. They scored the touchdown against Notre Dame to win at the end. They're due for a game where maybe they put all those pieces together. Maybe it's not this week. I do like Florida, though. I'm a little bit worried about the, like, what do you do after a big win? Like, do you have a letdown, too much confidence? So I like Florida to cover, but I like A&M to win. And I like A&M 27-20. I think home field line of scrimmage on offense is enough for Texas A&M to win this game.
Any concern that A&M keeps racking up all these penalties? And I know you said it there, you know, they're not playing their best yet. They're still winning. That should be recognized and celebrated. And we should look at that and say, well, hell, if they put it all together, this team's capable of huge things, including perhaps winning the national championship. Even, you know, if they went from week one to where they're at now, week seven, if they can do that, you know, week 14 or whatever, yeah, they're going to be a damn machine here. But, you know, are you concerned at all that that is going to catch up to them at some point with just, I don't know if you want to call it undisciplined, but hell, we got the coach out here saying we got a Cabo fund for all our penalties, and yet they're still having all these penalties. Does that concern you?
Yeah, it does. And I think it's almost just as simple, Mike, as, you know, Auburn is one thing. You know, like the way that Auburn matched up against A&M, Florida matches up, I think, a little bit better. But your challenge is down the road. Like, if you have to go on the road to LSU and you're playing that kind of sloppy of a ball, I mean, LSU on the road can beat you. Missouri can. You know, even South Carolina, Texas. Like, it's one thing to do that, I guess, against UTSA and Utah State and Auburn and Mississippi State. But when you're playing teams that have, like, a DJ Lagway, like a Garrett Nussmeier, I do worry about those mistakes adding up. And that also gets at, they just have, to me, they have room to grow and they have room to clean some of this up, which makes them even more dangerous down the stretch here.
Hey, look at this comment here, Steven. And I'm not trying to call him out because we appreciate him being here. All real Texan. We held State and Auburn to 19. No way. Florida gets to 20. Who does that? Does that remind you of anybody that Florida recently played?
Florida scored 20 on Texas A&M last year.
Well, not only that, but I'm thinking all I heard was Texas, how good their damn defense was. And Florida went up and down the field on them. So,
yeah.
Again, not to say, you know, Florida, A&M is not Texas and Texas is not A&M. But, you know, I don't know. I was hearing similar things last week, and Florida may have woken up because I don't know if you guys, and I'm sure A&M fans have seen him by now, but this kid Dallas Wilson is legit, and I mean, he's a freak show. So, you know, a player of that caliber, it's very difficult for like a true freshman receiver to completely change the dynamic of an offense. And I'm not saying that that's exactly what he's done, but that's exactly what he did last week. So We'll see if that continues. Now A&M did a masterful job against an even better receiver in Cam Coleman. So maybe they can get that done this week, but I think that had a hell of a lot more to do with their quarterback and offensive line at Auburn than it did than anything. So, you know, I think that is a key thing to watch, how they handle this Dallas Wilson, because he might legitimately be a, you know, we've seen this, Steven, where, you know, the Ohio State guy last season, Ryan Williams at Bama, like true freshman could take over the game now. A lot of these guys are ready and elite day one. And I think it's too early to put that on Dallas Wilson after one game, but based on what he's shown, I think it's fair to wonder if he's in that class.
I think that's definitely fair, Mike. I mean, I know it's only one game, so I don't want to get like too high on what we saw. But at the same time, that was a completely different Florida offense. And also, maybe it's not just him. It's the ability to run the ball. But Jaden Baugh also thought that DJ Lagway's timing looked a little better. So maybe you add timing plus your big play receiver coming back. Maybe a little thought experiment here on Texas A&M's defense. They gave up 40 to Notre Dame. and it was a back and forth game. I would argue that CJ Carr is the best quarterback they've played so far. And I think certainly way better than Jackson Arnold. I don't think Blake Chapin had a great game Saturday night, but UTSA and Utah State, I mean, there's a pretty significant gap in talent there. So this, I mean, DJ Lag was arguably the most talented quarterback they've played. Now, he hasn't played maybe as well as CJ Carr has for Notre Dame just because of the way the season's played out. Is that fair?
Yeah. And again, if we're just talking quarterbacks here, Talen Green next, Nussmeier next, Bo next, Lenoris next. I mean, our real definition of what A&M's defense will come over the next month.
Yeah. And I think that's what fascinates me about this matchup is because you've got Dallas Wilson, you've got Sturdivant, you've got Eugene Wilson, you've got Brown. This is a really good kind of test case for us about Texas A&M secondary. They've played a lot better this year. Going to love seeing the blanket go up against one of these receivers. But man, I mean, we saw what, you know, Notre Dame put up 40 points. I mean, this is kind of like if Texas A&M secondary shuts down Florida's passing game, that'll make me feel a lot better going forward as they get ready to play Nussmeier and some of those other quarterbacks on the schedule.
And I don't know, I should have checked the tape, Stephen, before bringing this to your attention, but you know, last year Florida beat LSU. That was an upset, right?
Yeah.
And I know, I don't know if you would have any recollection of where you went the next game, but it was the Ole Miss game. You know, I guaranteed Ole Miss would whoop Florida's ass. And it went the other way. So, again, the point being, we have seen this before where Florida turns it around and is, oh, yeah, that's a one-off. And then they just get red hot. So I'm not certainly not suggesting. I think it's that if my recollection, yeah, LSU and Ole Miss were home games.
Yeah.
Completely different story. Night game, Kyle Field. But I'm just saying we have sort of seen this story before. You know what?
It could go one of two ways, is that this is the start of another second half surge for Florida, or it's big win, let down on the road, and maybe A&M easily covers in this spot. The letdown side of this would be pretty surprising, I think, just given the way Florida played last week. The only caveat to that would be like if DJ Lagwe is hindered more from an injury perspective from getting kind of banged up in that game on Saturday against Texas.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Steven, shout out. Remember, Steven Upgifted gave us one. Mizzou fan has gifted two memberships. So please let that influence your decision here, Steven. Shout out, Mizzou fan. He gifted Jimmy Irwin and Herbie. Jimmy and Herbie, welcome to
the family.
Courtesy of Mizzou fan number 7. That's how many Mizzou's going to win by, Steven? No, I'm just kidding.
Or touchdowns by Ahmad Hardy?
All right, wait. We'll get to that game here in just a minute, but we got to get down to the Deep South's oldest rivalry, Steven. Georgia, mighty Georgia, on the road at Auburn. Night game. Crazy things happen in Jordan Hare, or at least that's what I keep being told. Georgia, a 3.5-point favorite on the road, over under 46.5 total points. 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on ABC. And the dogs are barking over here, Stephen. I don't know about over at your house, but how do you see this one going down?
Mike, I think the biggest thing that interests me with this game is it does feel like a very winnable opportunity for Auburn because it's at home. You get Georgia coming to you, obviously coming to your place. It's a home game, but also the matchups here. We know Georgia comparative to Texas A&M and Oklahoma, not getting the same amount of pressure. Georgia has kind of struggled to generate that this year. Also, been a little bit vulnerable in the secondary at times. See the Tennessee game. Also, coming off the off week, what does Hugh Freeze and this offense have cooked up? Because we've saw the struggles the last couple weeks. Maybe they're not running the ball enough. Maybe Jackson Arnold needs to get rid of the ball quicker. The offensive line has to get a lot better. I think just one stat that sums up their offensive issues, Mike, they are 3 of 28 on third downs, like in SEC play. And that tells me a couple things. the sacks on third down, but also staying kind of in manageable down distance early on, like the run game, like staying second and six, third and three, as opposed to try and win from like third and 10. Auburn is averaging just 2 yards per carry in SEC games this year. So I think that, you know, to me, the question is like, coming off the off week, does Auburn do anything different? Also, you know, how does this Georgia front, or sorry, how does the Auburn front impact Georgia's offensive line? Because we know Georgia has some injuries, but they've been running the ball well. So how does that offensive line hold up in a tough environment against a good defensive front? There's a lot of things that just fascinate me about how these two teams match up. Auburn matches up well here, I think, is the story. But Mike, I think we know where there is one mismatch, right? And that's at head coach. I trust Kirby Smart. So I, despite some of these things I said about Auburn and the matchups here, I think Georgia just finds a way to win. One stat to watch here, Auburn, just one loss turnover. Georgia has lost 7 this season. So in a tight game, if Auburn could get a couple takeaways, we know strange things happen at Auburn, maybe that's the path to victory. So I trust Kirby Smart. That's why I'm taking Georgia. Give me Georgia 24, Auburn 20.
I was really hoping you'd say Hugh Freeze got the coaching edge in this matchup. That would have been hilarious, but
you might have signed off, right?
He would have been banned from this network for the rest of your life. But let me, because here's something I was thinking about today, Stephen. Yes, I don't knock anything you just said there, but you know what has really, really hindered Auburn in their SEC games. Now, you third down, yes, that's kind of obvious, right? But if you got to dig up maybe perhaps a little bit deeper, and why is Auburn struggling on third down? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but in my mind, chief among them, Stephen, is who they played, Oklahoma and A&M, arguably. You can make the case top 2 defensive lines in the conference right now. I think certainly Oklahoma 1, A&M in the conversation for number 2. There may be another team you want to insert in there. But point being, I think Auburn's been getting dominated on the road on the offensive line. I think that's fair to say. But they're coming home. And I don't know what I'm looking at, Stephen, when I watch this Georgia team play, because they can't get after the quarterback. I've never seen anything like this. So I don't know that Georgia's going to get after them and get 10 sacks like in Oklahoma. I don't know if they're going to get after them like A&M that constantly put, and here's in my big ramble where I'm getting at, Auburn failing on first and second down is setting up long third and long situations. And that's a big reason why they are so poor on third down. That and false starts, which you would assume, I wouldn't assume anything with a Hugh Freeze coach team, but you would assume would get corrected at home. So I don't know. I'm saying all that to say I think this could be a different story for Auburn. What's your take on all that?
I think the offense will look a little better this week, coming off the off week. And I think what you said about the matchups is really kind of the interesting storyline, because if you had said before the season which defensive front was going to give, you know, Auburn a lot of trouble, I mean, Oklahoma was number one defensive line in the SEC, I think we would have assumed Georgia would be getting a lot more pressure at this point. Now, maybe Kirby's got some stuff cooked up this week that he can use to pressure Jackson Arnold. I think just thinking about the Auburn offense here, and I think, you know, kind of focusing on like the third and longs and the penalties, it's like it goes back to last year, like self-inflicted mistakes with turnovers and things cost them games. So it's almost like they got to kind of stay out of their own way, like turnovers, penalties. But also, I think what you said there with the third downs is first downs. Like, how do you win first downs? Is it getting the run game more involved? Is it Jackson Arnold running? He's had, you know, 10 plus carries a couple times this year. So I think finding ways to be more prolific on first down can help the third downs. And how does Georgia I mean, I would assume Georgia, if they can't get pressure, is probably thinking that, hey, if we make Auburn go 8, 9, 10 plays, at some point they're probably not, we're going to force them off the field just given the way they played this year. So in that, Mike, if they can get in 3rd and 3 or something, doesn't that open up some shots downfield, maybe to Coleman, Eric Singleton? You know, maybe their pass protection isn't great, but if you're keeping the defense a little bit more honest here, right?
Without a doubt. And when you have a, you know, there's a lot of bad things people do say about Jackson Arnold. I don't think he's that bad. But, you know, one thing you can't say about him is he's not an elite runner. And in these 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3s, you're going to run him a lot more, and it's going to be a lot more effective. And I would also think that, I think Auburn's well aware this is like season on the line type game. Hell, I don't know if I'd even punt the football if we're passing the 35-yard line. You know what I mean? So it's like you got 4 downs to get a lot of these, I would think, going up against, because you just can't afford to, you got to be ultra aggressive, I would think, in this one.
I agree. And you mentioned the schedule coming up. It does feel like kind of like a season defining stretch. Like if you're going to make something out of the season, Georgia, Missouri at Arkansas. And we know Arkansas, despite the defensive issues, can score. So you're talking about 3 games here. This could, you know, make or break the season. If you can pick off 2 of these and be 5-3, if you go 0-3, you know, you're still talking about, you still got to play Vanderbilt. You still got to play Alabama. So it feels like this stretch is like a season defining stretch for Auburn. Whereas for Georgia, if they win, they just check it off and move up 1 step closer to the college football playoff again.
Mm-hmm. All right. So apologies. One more time. Would you tell me your score here?
Give me Georgia 24, Auburn 20.
Man. I mean, close is about as good as a win as Hugh Freeze can get in the conference.
What's going to be the excuse after the game? Or who is the bus going to run over?
Probably the left tackle, if I had to guess.
Maybe they need to simplify their play calling operations. Too many guys calling plays. We had some penalties and it resulted in some offensive miscues. I could see that.
Right. Hey, let's get into our next game, Stephen. But before we do, shout out Mizzou fan gave us another $5. Missouri has won 27 and lost 5 over the past 3 years, which I believe is like top 5 in the sport. Right now, it's up there. Y'all love to act like Mizzou is this trash team, but y'all lose a lot to that basement team. The favorite saying in the SEC, Stephen? Well, we were down those years. Missouri beat us. So right. Everybody's been down for 20 years, or 5 years, whatever you have. So shout out Mizzou fan. We appreciate the donation. So let's get our eye towards a sleepy game for some damn reason. They put it in the morning here. Alabama, mighty Alabama at Mizzou. Bama favored by 2.5. This is another one that's went down and down and down. Over-unders 51.5 total points. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, nationally televised on ABC. Stephen, what a showdown. This looks to be on paper. Who do you got winning the matchup?
Mike, I am glad that you saved these two games for last because I have been torn on this matchup and the Oklahoma-Texas one all week. So, a lot of anxiety here for this prediction because I'm very torn on where this game wants to go. I want to give a shout out to our Missouri friend we just talked about there. First of all, you know, I actually was just looking at that earlier this week in the home success for Missouri, which brings me to the first point of this game. I love the timing for Missouri. You've had a pretty favorable schedule coming off the off week, and you get Alabama at your place, and you're playing Alabama after they have had 2 massive showdowns, the road game against Georgia, the home game against Vanderbilt, which was a revenge game. This is the perfect setup for Missouri to pick off Alabama, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's got to be if there's ever a time, you know, Missouri will beat Alabama. I'm not questioning that in the future, but I'm just saying, like, if you could, you know, cook up a perfect scenario, this is it. And so I love the timing in the spot for Missouri on the matchups The first thing that comes to my mind is the road woes for Alabama under Kalen DeBoer. Now, they did beat Georgia, but they've also owned Georgia. So I don't know what to make of any of these variables that we have this season. I think a style of play conversation could come up here. Because if you're Missouri, I do think getting Hardy, getting Roberts, getting Prabula, like get the ground game going, control time of possession. One of the weird things about last week's game for Alabama and Vanderbilt, we talked all about style. Alabama held the ball for over 30 minutes. They didn't let Vanderbilt play at style. And I bring up style because I do think if you're Missouri, the more that Ty Simpson and these receivers, you're getting into a back and forth kind of game. I think Missouri can win a high scoring game. I just think you'd probably would prefer Ahmad Hardy and the run game to kind of carry this matchup. So a lot of interesting kind of individual battles to watch. Do you think the competition level for Missouri goes up a lot? Like South Carolina, Kansas, good challenges. Alabama is a much stiffer test here. The thing that I'm watching, two things. We talked about it on Monday. Number one, secondary for Missouri. How does it hold up against Ty Simpson, Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, Jeremy Bernard? Love the way Ty Simpson has played. I do think he needs to get rid of the ball a little quicker at times so he doesn't take some sacks, but that's okay. Alabama's offensive line ranks first in the SEC in pass blocking per Pro Football Focus. Missouri ranks first in the SEC in pass rush per Pro Football Focus. So we've got good on good here. Also for Alabama, how do they stop the run? I love the way they played in the second half last week against Diego Pavia. This challenge is a little different, though. Also, I think the X factor is Bro Prabula. I think his legs could be really important. We saw Castellanos. We saw Pavia create some problems. Also, going back to last year, Jackson Arnold on the ground when Oklahoma beat Alabama. Seems to give this defense a lot of trouble. I'm checking a lot of boxes here for a Missouri upset, Mike. I can't get there, though. Got to take the Tide. I'm going to take Alabama 30, Missouri 27. I don't have a ton of confidence in this one, but I think it definitely lives up to the hype as one of the best games of the weekend.
You damn logo watcher, which I still don't know what that is, but it is a funny term. But I can't pick apart that necessarily. Any chance, though, that Alabama's kind of, I don't want to say worn out, but just, it's, you know, you could slice it either way, right? Battle tested as opposed to Missouri, or, you know, at some point this gauntlet's going to catch up to them, I would think.
Yeah.
Now, probably more likely Tennessee is going to catch up to them. But, I don't know. Is there any concern there that, like you said, week after week,
yeah.
Of course, Alabama's seemingly getting better and better. So, really good teams tend to do that regardless of the competition. But is that a concern of yours at all?
It is. And you know, that kind of goes to timing of this game for Missouri, getting Alabama off on a bye week at your place. And Alabama has played two pretty emotional games. Also, they get Tennessee next week, too. So just thinking about the timing, there's kind of a phrase in college football that I like to use called the moment, which is like everything lines up for that team to win. And it's like a team like Alabama going on the road, and like, you know, Tennessee a few years ago when they picked off Alabama when they had them at home and they made the field goal at the end. And of course the crazy celebration after. It's like, there's a lot that lines up there for Missouri. Like you get them at home, you've got the bye week, you've got the personnel, everything there kind of says like, hey, this is Missouri's moment. They got a chance to win this game. They're only a 3-point dog or 2-point dog, depending on where you look. So I think there's a lot there for Missouri. The tank for Alabama might be running closer, not to full, I wouldn't say empty, somewhere in the middle after those last two games.
Right. And then how about, let me flip it maybe towards Bama a little bit, devil's advocate. Is there a chance that Missouri's offensive line gets exposed in a matchup like this?
That is my big concern, I think, for Missouri. I think there's two things. I think Alabama's secondary is pretty good. And, you know, Prabula, this is going to be the best defensive backfield that he's faced. And so certainly the legs have been great. He's been great as a passer too. So how does Missouri's passing game operate against that? But also, how does this offensive line hold up against Alabama? You know, Tim Keenan being back, you know, we know they've had some issues at times against the run, but I also think Alabama's front overall is pretty talented. And so in a game like this, if you do have some questions, like, yeah, I would be, it's a good barometer test, I think is a fair way to say it, for this Missouri offensive line. It will tell us a lot. And especially, we don't know what the status of Caden Green's going to be.
Not according to Andrew Cooper, Stephen. Okay. Missouri O-line going to expose Bama's defensive line. He's got them shades on, I think.
So Missouri's offensive line that's given up 12 sacks and including to, you know, rugged defenses like Central Arkansas, Louisiana, and UMass doesn't concern you at all?
They'll handle Bama like your cupcake, Steven. How dare you?
Just saying. I love Missouri's like opportunity here, don't you? I think they're a live dog, so to speak, in an upset potential.
If Missouri wins, should they be, how high could they climb in the rankings? Could they get into the top five, or is that maybe a little too rich?
I think it depends.
What happens around them?
Yeah, like what happens Oklahoma, Texas. I would have them in the top 10, though, for sure. Kind of where, somewhere five and between 5 and 10, depending on what happens elsewhere.
Let me ask it this way. If they win, 0% to 100%, if Missouri's 6-0 come Sunday, what percentage chance do they make the playoff?
Man, that's a good question. I like their schedule. I also see some games that are pretty tricky. I think if they win this game, the odds of them going 10-2 go up significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So probably better than 50%, maybe closer to like 55, 60. Is that fair?
I mean, to the Missouri fans, it's more like 95, but yeah, I mean, they got some road games up and coming. We don't know how well this team plays. I don't know if they have a road game. You know, they might move the ball to Columbia. But, yeah, no, I think that's a fair set. I would probably maybe go a little bit higher, like 65%. But, yeah, there will still be work to be done. It won't be locked in. But I think I asked Shane that question, and he said 100%. So just know it's 100%.
Let me ask you this. If you're looking at Missouri's schedule, like let's just say they win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I would have them as an underdog to Oklahoma.
Right.
I would say toss up against Texas A&M, depending on how these two teams look the next couple weeks.
Right.
But I think they'll be favored in the rest of the games. But at Auburn, at Vanderbilt, at Arkansas, I don't know they survive all those games, right? Is that fair?
No, I'm right there with you. I think Auburn's losable. I think Vanderbilt's losable because they're on the road.
Yeah.
And certainly I would favor Oklahoma, assuming John Mateer is in uniform in Norman.
I agree. Yeah. I think if they win this game, I like them to finish 10-2, I think.
Yeah.
I think maybe you give them a loss, maybe to like A&M and like, I don't know, maybe or Oklahoma, A&M, and then I could easily see them stumbling somewhere on the road, but their odds to make the playoff get a lot better if they win this week.
I'll tell you who's not stumbling. My cousin, SEC Sean. Shout out, Sean. He gifted a membership to Heath Hukari. I hope I didn't butcher that. Heath, welcome to
the family.
Thank you, SEC Sean. We appreciate you. And also, Chase, we appreciate you. M-I-Z, beesh. Too Tall Paul, appreciate you. My lock of the week is Cousin Shane will be watching Tennessee, Arkansas, drinking Tennessee Legend, yelling at the TV. And then Peyton Brooks, appreciate you. He's trying to bet three bones in a bottle of Tennessee Legend. Bama wins. So, let's see. Let's see if we can get some cousin-on-cousin action over here. You know what?
Do you think Cousin Shane is really going to be yelling at the TV all that much if Tennessee's offense is going up and down and scoring easily, or is that
well,
still?
He yells during positive
okay
things more than anything. So yeah, I think he will.
Okay. Well, I guess that's like, I guess he's just striving for perfection, right?
Right. Okay. All right, final matchup here, Steven. Shout out the Red River Shootout here. Texas, mighty Texas. Oh, Lordy. What happened to all these Texas people? We're in the mentions for months and months. Nowhere to be seen, Steven, and they're going to be gone for good, I think. They lose on Saturday to Oklahoma. Texas favored, what? By 1.5 points in this matchup down in Dallas. Over under 42.5 total points. 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. Nationally televised, of course, on ABC. Steven, how torn are you on this one?
Extremely torn. I have probably changed my mind on this game, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 times since last week's game ended. There's so many variables here to sort out. I don't know how you could be confident in making a prediction. Obviously, if you're an Oklahoma fan or a Texas fan, I think you can feel somewhat confident. If you're someone like me who has no interest in the game and just wants to see an awesome matchup, I have no idea what to expect. I think obviously the biggest storyline is John Mateer. Does he play? If he plays and he's 50-60%, I like Oklahoma to win this game. I think Oklahoma can still win the game with Michael Hawkins, though. And the biggest reason starts up front. The defensive line for Oklahoma against Texas offensive line is a massive mismatch. And if you wanted to, you know, kind of parse this game out as where's the biggest advantage and what could swing it, that's it. When I think about the Texas offense, and I'm wondering over the last couple of days, and they probably have had to hear everybody like me and others question the offensive line. I think Sark could do some things in the short passing game, maybe to help Arch, but Texas has to run the ball better. And for all of how is Arch going to play, what's, you know, this to me, it's the Texas offensive line. Either this group shows up and does just enough, or they get annihilated like Auburn does. And it doesn't matter, Mike, if it's Michael Hawkins, if it's John Mateer, if it's bringing Sam Bradford out of the stands, or me or you to start quarterback, Oklahoma would win this game. So offensive line for Texas under the microscope. I do think we should talk a little bit about the battle, though, on the other side of the ball. Because Oklahoma's offensive line and rushing attack, to me, is still a question mark. You look last week against Kent State, you know, they did, you know, run the ball fine. But that's also Kent State, and I don't know that was a good enough performance to give me a lot of confidence against Texas. But is Texas defense any good? I thought they were, right? Last week they didn't show it. They got pushed around. So if Oklahoma can just be okay up front, that might be better than Texas, and that might be good enough to win this game. These two defenses, number 1 and 2 in the SEC in scoring defense, yards per play, number 1 and number 3. You can kind of see where this is going. Low scoring, turnovers, maybe a big play, maybe a field goal. Something small is probably going to decide this game. It's really hard to predict given all the injuries for Oklahoma and also Texas at running back. Like, you know, Wisner and Baxter are both banged up. So this one's really hard to figure out. I what's your confidence level of a winner in this game?
No, oh, I know who's winning. I just won't reveal that till tomorrow evening.
I know. It's like you've seen the future in this game, right? So a lot of smart people picking Texas in this game, Mike. A lot of smart people picking Oklahoma. I almost thought about bringing a coin and flipping it on your show because that's where I am.
Bring a prop. You want me to flip it for you?
So I settled. Here's where I settled, Mike. If John Mateer plays, I'm taking Oklahoma. But you know what I think is going to happen? I think it's going to be Michael Hawkins. I'm taking Texas 20-17. Only because John Mateer, I don't think, will play. But if he does, put me in for Oklahoma.
Well, we should have known. Steven Arch Lassen picking Texas to beat Oklahoma. I don't even know why we have you on, Steven, because I just knew that's what you were going to say. But
if we recorded this 2 hours earlier, I would have picked Oklahoma. If we recorded it yesterday, I would have picked Oklahoma. Honestly, I have no idea who's going to win this game. And a lot of it's just the injuries.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Stephen, because it's, you know, this is live, of course, not taped or anything. So we're Wednesday, if you're just listening back, Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, thank you, Brodo. Logo, Chase, and Lassen. Although I think Oklahoma's a pretty big logo last time I checked. But it's Wednesday afternoon. I mean, I don't think there's any shot in hell that Oklahoma doesn't know who they're playing at quarterback. I mean, they're not. Do you? I mean, do you really think they're going to get like Thursday night, Friday night, and be like, all right, he's good. No practice, nothing. Just throw him out there. Like, I think they know one way or another, but they're not going to. I understand it's to their advantage to not reveal that officially, but do you believe that there is any uncertainty with inside Norman of who they're starting?
Doesn't Brent Venables kind of seem like he knows? You know, just because he kind of said Saturday that he felt kind of like he'd be surprised, I guess, whatever kind of paraphrasing that it'd be surprised if Mateer played. Also, I think they are playing some mind games with Texas. It wouldn't surprise me if they've leaked some stuff to make it seem like Mateer's playing, to make Texas prepare for both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought the quote from Venables on Tuesday was pretty telling about good on good. I think they probably know Michael Hawkins is going to start. Now, I've been wrong before. It would not stun me if Mateer made a, you know, there's an NBA reference, Willis Reed for you, entrance into the Cotton Bowl and started this game or played some. I don't think he has to be 100% for Oklahoma to win this game. I think they could win it with Mateer. I think they can win it with Michael Hawkins. I'm kind of banking on, hey, Texas can't be that bad defensively, right? That's got to be just a one-off. So I think Venables and Oklahoma probably know it's Hawkins.
Now, let me ask you this. How bad is it for Texas if they lose to Michael Hawkins?
Disband the program. Just kidding. No, just kidding. I think, doesn't it only add to what has been a pretty like disappointing season already? I mean, you're talking about maybe one of the biggest disappointments over the last, you know, 5 years of college football, to go from number one to losing. And I don't mean that, like, Michael Hawkins is a solid player. Like, I don't mean that as a bad thing. I'm just saying, if you have as much roster talent as Texas has, despite some of the question marks, you should be able to beat a team with a backup quarterback, right?
I certainly would think so, Stephen. But yeah. Is it also fair to say, I guess we can never really know because we can't just make an alternate universe on a fly, although that would be fun. But let's say Georgia loses this weekend, which I'm not saying they will, but let's say they do. That would be seen as a huge disappointment. And they didn't even, you know, if they had a game at Ohio State week one, maybe they lose that as well. And they're sitting in the same boat as Texas. I guess the point I'm trying to make here, Stephen, is we are saying this on literally every show, but seemingly no one is picking it up, that just college football is different now. And you could be preseason one, and then 2 months later, you could be 3-3. And I don't think it's Athletic should be writing Arch Manning the worst player of all time or whatever the hell they said. You know, this is just college football now, where Alabama was a national embarrassment 5 weeks ago. Right now, I think they're the best team in the conference.
Agree.
There's so many there's so many examples. I think this is football now. So I don't understand the freak out, but I do appreciate it because it helps ratings.
I'm glad you brought this up. Trying not to go on the angry rant that I wrote to myself, maybe for publishing one day. Mike, I think one of the best things about college football is the unpredictable nature of it. If I handed you a top 25 in the offseason And it was exactly right. It'd be the most boring sport in the world, wouldn't it? So let's enjoy the chaos from week to week. I mean, I don't necessarily enjoy the roster chaos in the offseason, but week to week, I think what we're seeing in college football, and it's like, I almost like enjoy the fact that we're getting these surprises and we're getting the volatility week to week. There's, I think outside of maybe Ohio State, Oregon, and Miami, there's not a great team right now in the SEC. There's a lot of really good teams. And I think the question is going to become from now until December, does Alabama, does Georgia, does Oklahoma join that conversation? And the fact that the depth in this conference and others, the portal NIL has really scrambled week to week what happens. These teams are so volatile. Every week is its own season. I mean, it didn't used to be this way, but I think this is just the new normal of college football. So I don't have a problem like, hey, if our preseason magazine is wrong, that meant college football had a crazy, unbelievable, enjoyable season. If this was just all going to chalk and this team was beating this team, I don't know what we would be. I mean, we'd be bored, wouldn't we? We have to be enjoying this, right?
Right. But I'll tell you who doesn't enjoy it is if your team's losing. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, Stephen, but would it completely blow your mind? Oklahoma wins on Saturday. Hell, I mean, we just said it's a total coin toss. So let's say they get to 6-0, and then come November 30th, they're 8-4 with the schedule at South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Alabama, Mizzou at home, LSU at home. Now, I'm not saying they're going to lose four of those, but that would not surprise me in the least. Would it surprise you?
It would not surprise me because all of those games are toss-ups potentially.
Right.
I mean, I mean, you know, and I think this is a good, you know, kind of, you know, conversation that we're having, because I do think we have to keep in mind this is week seven, and a lot of these teams, 80% of their season has been filled with easy one-offs. And so there is still some extent of like, we don't know about some of these teams. Also, I mean, after Oklahoma beat Auburn, I went into that Monday morning not knowing that John Mateer had a hand injury. So something could happen Tuesday next week that changes our opinion of a game coming up in a couple weeks. I mean, Florida last week, I mean, that just scrambled everything. We sit here and said, oh, Ole Miss, easy win over Florida, and look what happened. So I think there's still a long way to go. And I think on Oklahoma specifically, you know, the fact that John Mateer, if he doesn't play this week, I think actually helps them a little bit in that playoff conversation, because the committee is supposed to take that into account. And if you're telling me, hey, Oklahoma went 9-3 and one of their losses was without John Mateer, this is the SEC. Every week there's no gimmies in this conference on the road. And so many of these teams are so clustered together this year that nothing is going to surprise me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Frank Miller. $5 donation. I hope that's the Marvel artist. And right. I don't think it is, but shout out Frank. OU defense going to have Arch in hell. If they do, they're going to win this football game. I have no doubt. And then I really like this one from Chase Millam. Who needs a win more, Steven, to be seen as elite? Eli Drinkwitz or Caleb DeBoering?
I'd probably go Drinkwitz, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I absolutely, without hesitation, because I think Drink is like right on that fringe, but he needs some big wins. I know he beat Ohio State. That's, to me, that's probably the biggest. But he, you know, again, the question is elite, not, you know, one of the best in the SEC, which I think he's already there. But to be seen as elite, I think he's got to win games like this. Now, Kalen DeBoering, you know, he's been to a national championship. He's 2-0 versus Kirby. I think he's 2-0 against Dan Lanning. Or I know he's undefeated against Lanning. He's undefeated against Sarkisian, which that's losing luster every Texas game. But point being, I think Kalen DeBoering is a big game coach. And I'm not sold that Drink. I think Drink will get there, but I'm not sold that he's that guy yet.
I would also play a devil's advocate a little bit on that win over Ohio State. you know, you're already down like with their third quarterback early in the first half.
Stephen, you're not allowed to say that.
Right.
Missouri was down guys too, apparently. Right. So
that kind of reinforces why I think if you just like national respect, I mean, guys like me and you and Shane, I think we know how good Missouri is. I think we know how good Drinkwitz is. But nationally, if you want that respect, then win this game. It helps Drinkwitz. It can only help this Missouri program in 26 and 27. So I think that's a great debate there. I think for Drinkwitz, it would give him national respect. But if you're DeBoer, you win this game. It's two wins on the road this year. And we're kind of like, well, they're getting a little bit further removed, right, from that road issues that they had before. I wanted to agree there with what Frank said, too, about Arch. I do think this is a brutal, brutal matchup for him. I looked the stat up, and I wanted to see what you thought about it. Quinn Ewers last year, 60% of his throws, 9 yards, and behind the line of scrimmage. Arch Manning, 45%, 9 yards, and behind the line of scrimmage. So last year, Texas was doing more short stuff to help the quarterback. Now, I know Arch Manning's got a big arm. He likes to push downfield. I think that's also why he's holding the ball. You know, I think Texas sometimes is looking for the big play as opposed to taking the easy stuff. That stat jumped out to me this week when I was going through these two teams and thinking, is there anything Sark can do in the short game to maybe help Arch? And you use maybe some tempo, you use some screens to act as kind of like a de facto running game here. And maybe Arch has to be more of a runner this week too.
Steven, I apologize. Breaking news here. We may have been dead wrong about everything. According to ESPN, I just verified this. Oklahoma favored to beat Texas now by 1.5. So as of from the start to till now, maybe this is just an error on ESPN's part, but a lot of people are seeing it. They're mentioning it on social media. And again, I'm on ESPN right now. It currently has Texas as a 1.5 point favorite over Texas. So maybe old Battier's flying in. I don't know.
It's one of those things makes you wonder, does somebody know something that you don't know?
Right.
You remember a couple of years ago that Will Levis, where he was out against, was it South Carolina, and the line shifted and it was like a tip off, like somebody knew something before right. It got out. So
and that was actually revealed on a betting podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So again, I don't know that Steven just flipped his pick. All right. So let's assume you kind of already said this. So I think we'll reserve your hell. I mean, it's only Wednesday. The game's on Saturday. Let's assume John Mateers plays. What's your score prediction?
20-17 Oklahoma.
Let's assume Mateer doesn't play.
Texas. Go ahead. Yeah.
Then what's the score?
20-17 Texas. Yeah.
I think we're going to make two graphics for Steve.
Don't you think he's worth at least 3 to 6, 7 points, though?
I think if John Mateer plays and he's healthy, I think Oklahoma will whip Texas ass. That's what I think.
Yeah. I think the other conversation in this, Mike, is like a pride argument for Texas. Like, you got embarrassed last week. Are you going to mm-hmm. show up and get embarrassed again this week? You know, I mean, Kyle Flood's a good offensive line coach, or at least I thought coming into this year. Now, I know they've missed on some guys and they haven't developed. But if you got any like pride and improvement and you want to protect your quarterback this week, this would be the week to play, you know, 50% better and give your team a chance to win. And I think the Oklahoma defensive line has a massive, massive advantage in this game. I think that's going to be hard for Texas to overcome.
No doubt. Well, hey, shout out Frank. He just became a member. Thank you, Frank. We appreciate you, buddy. And go Boomer Sooner for you, brother. Yeah. Oh, hey, how about this? Junior says Mature moving the lines with his bits. Maybe he put his whole NIL check on the Sooners, you know?
Or was it the guy at Chipotle again?
Ooh. Perhaps.
He's got the scoop, no pun intended.
All right, Stephen, really appreciate your time. Always fun to talk some SEC football. Have you? What is your John Mateer lock of the week?
Man, this is a tough one. I'm going to take Georgia. It's not a very big spread. It's, you know, was it three and a half or so? I'm going to take Georgia because I got them winning by four.
Okay. All right, before you go, Stephen, as always, remind the cousins, where can they follow you? Where can they find your work?
You can read all my work at AflonSports.com, at AflonSteven on Twitter, and StephenLCFB over on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. As always, enjoy the games this weekend. Looking forward to recapping them with you on Monday. Shane and I will be back here in a couple hours, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, to do our latest SEC mailbag. And I think we'll stay on long enough to get the availability report from the SEC to see what it says about old John Mateer. So stay tuned. When we get the news, you'll get it here on the channel. Like, subscribe, share. All that really helps us out. Until next time, we'll catch you. We appreciate each and every one of you. See you in a couple hours. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.